Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody, and welcome again to all our mothers for Mother's Day. So today we continue our series. We're busy looking at where do I begin? Looking at reading the Lord's Word and asking, how do I go about reading this book, this collection of books? Where do I start? What state of life do I have to be in? What kind of habits do I need to develop in reading the Lord's Word? So today, we're looking again at reading the Lord's Word and specifically at, well, where might I start? Where might I begin reading in the Lord's Word? If you have children or if you are a teacher, what is the quickest way to get children to listen to you? My experience says promise them sweets. All right, whether you've got sweets in a jar or whether you promise to take them out to Wimpy or wherever it is, get a little McDonald's ice cream, if we promise them some sweets and their ears open, and they will listen to us. Right? So promise them something that they want, that they love, that they have an affection for, and they open up and listen to you. Now, teachers know in the classroom, if you're trying to teach children, the more that you can engage them in getting excited and enjoying the subject, the more they will take in. It's very difficult to teach a child who doesn't like maths and has a negative attitude towards maths. You can't just come in and try and pump more maths into their mind. It just doesn't work. But if you can find a way to get them excited, to get them feeling better about maths, make maths more interesting, then they open up and they're able to hear and they're able to understand. Exactly the same thing is true for adults. We are still drawn to things that we enjoy. If we enjoy astrology, we will go out and study for ourselves. If we are busy working and we need to find out some more information about something, to figure something out, we will go and we will engage in our own study and we will figure it out and learn because we have a desire, a need that we need to fill. And so we're open to learning. So life really is continual learning as we open ourselves up to the things that we enjoy and we learn and we take in new things. But it all rests on this need, this desire for something. Now, we can have good desires. We can have good feelings. And those good feelings, those good desires, those good affections, those good loves, whatever you want to call them, those good things drive us to draw the truths towards us, to figure things out, to learn. If we want to be good people, if we have a desire to be a better person, then we will start asking questions and searching out, well, what does it mean to be a good person? How do I change? How do I grow? How do I develop? Right? We will take on that challenge if we have that desire to be a better person. If we are in a relationship and we want to love this other person more and we want to grow in this relationship, then you will go and find out, well, what tools can I use in my relationship? How can I learn more about communication or conflict resolution or those sort of things to help me in this relationship? Wherever our desire is, wherever the need is, we are open to learning. But not all our desires are good. Not all our affections, not all our loves are for good things. We have many loves in each one of our own lives where we love ourselves. We love things of this world. We love dominion. We love power. We love money, right? We desire to have things. We desire to benefit from things. And so even those desires, even though they are negative, they will produce in us an opening to learn things. How do I become more productive in my work? Because I want to earn more money. Or in a more sinister way, how can I steal money? Right? And you figure it out. You're willing to learn. How can I steal my money? How can I cheat the system? How can I benefit for my own gain? That's driven by a desire within our lives. So we have good desires and we have hurtful desires, selfish desires. And either one of those can push us, can drive us to learning in different ways. The good things open us up to all. The selfish things turn us inward and only allow the things that in that will benefit ourselves. And these affections, these loves, these feelings that drive us are an important part of the Lord's desire. Because not only does it affect every aspect of our daily life, but it also affects how we read the Lord's Word. I want to turn to the teachings for the new church, and you can follow along in your pew card. So we read from the teachings for the new church from the book called Secrets of Heaven. No one is ever instructed through truths. What? No one is ever instructed through truths. If you take a child and you just try and put truths into their mind, facts into their mind, it's not going to work. Why? Because it is through the affections for truths. It's through the love for truths. It's through the excitement for truths. It's through the good feeling towards these truths that we're instructed. There first has to be a love for something before the truths can come into our mind, before facts or any knowledges can come into our mind. For when truths are devoid or without affection, they do indeed flow in as sound into the ear, but they do not pass into the memory. So truths, if there is no affection, if there's no love for the truth, if there's no interest in the truth, goes in one ear and out the other. What causes them to pass into the memory or stay in the memory is that there is an affection, there is a love for that truth, there is a need for that truth in our minds. For good, that is the object of affection, is like the soil into which truths are sown as seeds. Affection is like the soil into which truths are sown as seeds. Maybe your mind has already thought about a teaching in the Bible or a parable that the Lord tells about seeds in the soil. If you read above there in our scripture for today, Matthew 13, we read the parable of the sower. Then Jesus spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." You can imagine that. Things coming into one ear and out the other. The Lord, in his parable, explains to his disciples afterwards that the seed represents his word. The seed represents his word. In one ear, out the other. The birds come and devour them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But when others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30, he who has ears, let him hear. The soil that the Lord prepares in each one of us is that effect, the affection, the love, the desire to know His truths. So that when we go to His Word to read from it, there is a soil, there is something to receive that truth. So that is an important idea that we can take with us when we go to read the Lord's Word. We carry on reading in the teachings for the new church from where we left off. The end in view, or the use, okay, so we're talking about what is that desire, what is that need in me? What is the end in view? What am I hoping to achieve? What is this going to produce in my life? Okay, right? The end in view can be good. I want to grow, I want to help, I want to love. Or it could be selfish. I want to gain. I want more than others. I want dominion over other people. The end in view, or the use, dictates the essential nature of the ground. So if the end in view is to be a loving person, then the ground is good. If the end in view is selfish, then the ground is rocky, or the ground is the wayside. That is the affection. So the end in view, or the use, dictates the essential nature of the ground, that is, of the affection, and so dictates the nature of what is produced from the seed sown there. So why are we going to the Lord's Word? We looked at that at the beginning, the first series, first part of the series. We can go there for good reasons, or we could go there for selfish reasons. If we go there for good reasons, we open ourselves up to the Lord to learn anything that He has to show us. We can read His text, read the story, and something will jump out at us. Something will draw our attention. That is because there is an affection. There is a love in us that moves us to receive that truth. The Lord is working from our inside to work on our affection, to work on our love. He stirs that love within us, and then He teaches us outwardly from His truths. And the two come together. The Lord working inwardly with our loves and outwardly from His truths, and they join together in our minds. That is the desire that the Lord has. That's the design that the Lord has as we approach His Word. So where do we begin? How do we approach reading His Word? There are so many books that make up the Bible. Where do I start? The question I put back on you is, what moves you? What excites you? What intrigues you about the Lord's Word? What state are you in? What are you looking for? Right? I can't tell you where to start reading the Bible, because the Lord is working inwardly in you in your own unique way, and He will work with the text in His way to teach you. So let's think of some examples. Perhaps you have a desire to learn from the Lord. How can I make different choices? How should I be living my life? What are the changes I need to be making? Then we can go to the New Testament. Go to the Gospels. Because in there, the Lord speaks about, in parables, the ways in which we interact with other people and the mistakes that we make and how we can correct things. Right? Don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees, He'll often say. Don't be hypocrites. The Lord is teaching us more plainly in the Gospel. But if we are in times of trouble, we're in times of pain, then Perhaps something in the Psalms will move you. If we read the Psalms, they are in themselves a prayer. A prayer to the Lord for help, or a prayer to the Lord in thanksgiving. So those Psalms have already in a form that speaks closely to our hearts. So the question is, where do you want to begin? Where do you want to begin? What is moving you? Perhaps you just have no idea. Some people use providence. In the Lord's providence, nothing is by chance. Open up a page and start reading. Something on that page might move you, right? Nothing is by chance. So that's a good way of starting if you have no idea where to start. So the Lord doesn't mind where you start. There is no best way to do it. It's not about starting at the beginning and finishing at the end. You can do that if that's your desire. But there is no reading plan that's specifically going to meet your exact needs. Where is your love? Where is your heart? And follow that and learn from the Lord through His Word. Now, I want to share two tools with you. One requires internet access, and the one does not. So let's look at the one that requires internet access. Often people read the Bible and they would like a little bit more explanation. They would like to hear someone else's thoughts or just delve deeper into things. And so I recommend to you a site. It's very small. If you turn to the back of your pew card, just under our readings, you'll see there it says resources to further your personal studies. And the first web site that is listed there is www.newchristianbiblestudy.org. This is a fantastic website. First of all, it's free. Everything on it is free. There are commentaries, there are explanations, there are all the books of the Bible, of the teachings for the new church, videos, audio recordings, all sorts of resources, absolutely free. And they're constantly adding to it and trying to link Bible verses to resources. So if you are interested in studying and you want a study resource to go along and do some further research, this is fantastic. There's lots of functionality in this website that I can't go through, but I just want to point out one thing. On the tabs that go across the top in the black ribbon at the top there, there's a pull-down menu about the Bible. There's a little bit closer. Okay, the Bible. And the second one down, the first one is about read the Bible. Thank you. My eyes are a bit bad. And the next one is popular Bible stories. You click on that, and it takes you to a page, and you can see there's three pictures there. Those are three selected stories about Easter, because we've just passed Easter. So there are three selected stories with explanations about the Easter story that you might want to think about, might want to research. So there, start somewhere and see where your heart leads you. If you scroll further down, you reach this table. And the top block there asks you for a book of the Bible. You click on the book of the Bible, and underneath it, in that table there, are resources, explanations, other people's comments and commentaries and things that they've studied from ministers all around the world, put there to help you study further, help you come learn something from the Lord. So a wonderful resource to dive into and follow your heart. Where is the Lord leading you? What is exciting to you? Follow your heart. The next resource I want to share, or next tool, is simply called InMe. in me. How does the in me tool work? So you don't have a computer available, but you've got the Bible. Here's Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The Lord's word is meant for you. Every story is there for you. Right? The Lord is speaking to you in this verse. So, in anything, in the Lord's word, add in me. Right? The Lord, this is something about what's happening in me. So blessed is the man in me who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In me, how do I walk in the ungodly? Nor stand in the path of sinners. In me, where am I standing in sin? Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. In me. Right? It's fair. But my delight is in the law of the Lord in me. And in his law I meditate day and night. Right? Every story, every verse in the Bible is about me. Right? This is the Lord speaking to me. It is his word to my life. And so everything we can read as in me. So we don't have to have a computer, but we can read this and reflect on how is this happening inside me. And in that way, the Lord can lead our thinking, he can lead our questioning, lead us to search inwardly within ourselves. Where am I making these mistakes? Where am I being like Moses? Where am I being like Adam and Eve? All of those stories are in me. So some tools require internet, computers, and others are simply realizing the Lord's word is for me. That the Lord is trying to use my heart, my affections, my love, and teach me through his word. And as I read the Lord's word and as something pops out, jumps out to me, asks a question in my mind, follow that. Think about that. That is the Lord speaking to you in his word. Whenever we are moved to ask a question, whenever we are moved to reflect on our own life, that is the Lord speaking directly to us through his word. So the challenge for each one of us that we've looked over the weeks is to approach the Lord's word in that humble way, asking the Lord for his help, for his guidance, and making a habit of it. How am I going to make this a regular habit of going to the Lord, reading his word, and drawing from it those things that stir my heart? Amen.